So we're pleased to have Dr. William Massey here. So let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor David. Thank you very much. And really, it's a great privilege to be here this morning. And before I share anything about, I think I would like to introduce myself and tell a little bit about myself. Can you raise a little bit volume, please? And there is echo as well. Okay. My name is William Massey, and originally I'm from Pakistan. My wife and my three daughters are here. Dikshanda, my wife, if you can say hello. And my eldest daughter, Naisa, is here with us. Second one is Ramilia. And third one is Nathania. So I'm stuck in four women for 24/7. I need more mercy. Okay. As I have told you that I'm originally from Pakistan. I was born in a Roman Catholic family, but going to church, participating in Christian activities, that was my routine. But when I finished my high school, before I finished my high school, I used to go in a Muslim school, and every single day I used to encounter with this question, why don't you convert to Islam? Why don't you convert to Islam? And they used to say that, oh, we give you an invitation, we give you a dawat of Islam. And I used to say that, why I need to become a Muslim? Why? Why? What is in Islam? And then a curiosity came in my heart, and I decided that I need to know a true living God. So for that reason, I started studying about different religions. I studied about Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism, Bahaism, New Age, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Christianity, and all that religions stuff. And I didn't study all these religions at home. For studying Islam, I used to go in a mosque, I used to do wuzu, I used to offer prayers. For studying Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Hinduism, I used to go in a Hindu temple, I used to give offering to goddesses, I used to eat prasad. And for studying Saint Mag, I went to Sikh temple, I took shower, and I did whatever they asked me to do. So, because deep down in my heart, I really wanted to know a true living God. But cut the long story short, in the end of all this research, I started saying there is no God. Because all this religion, they teach you a good stuff, but there is no God. So when I was in my college, I met with my one Christian friend who tried to evangelize me, actually. And I opposed him and I said, no, I'm not interested at all because there is no God. So why I waste my time with you and on all this stuff? But he said one statement which really attracted me. He said that all these religions, they teach you how you can reach out to God. But only in Christianity, God will reach out to you. And he said that you can see your God. When he said that, I can see my God, really that thing stuck with my heart and mind and with me. So every time I used to see him, he used to try to evangelize me and I used to make fun over him. I used to tease him. But one day, I don't know why, I challenged him and I said, okay, I want to see your God. I want to see your God. And I asked him, what do I need to do? He shared that, he taught me a simple prayer. He said, just pray and God will come. I said, I have done so many funny things and just praying is so easy, so I can do it. So he taught me a prayer. A creator of this universe, a true living God, whoever you are, come, I want to see you. And he said, then whoever will come, you can follow him. He didn't mention Allah. He didn't mention Krishna. He didn't mention Buddha. He didn't mention any God. He said that whoever will come, then you can follow him. It's so easy. I said, yes, I want to do it. So I challenged him for 30 days. I said, I want to see your God within 30 days. And until now, I don't know why I said 30 days. So I started praying. I prayed for 29 nights and nobody came. And every day I used to tell him, see, nobody came. See, there is no God. And every time he used to tell me that, oh, still there are 15 days left. Still there are 10 days. Still there are 5 days. Still there are 3 more days to go. But on 30th night, when I was sleeping in my bedroom, I heard a voice from outside which called me, William, William. I rushed to the kitchen door, looked outside, nobody was there. And here in UK, hardly you can see star on the sky, right? But in Asia, you can see in each and every single night. So on that night, it was a dark pitch night, and even there was no star on the sky, so I was scared. So I rushed back, I slept. After some time, again I heard that same voice which called me, William, William. I rushed to the kitchen door, looked outside, nobody was there. So while I was standing there in the kitchen door, a thought came in my mind and I said, here I am, Lord, show me, what do you want to show me? And at that time I didn't know that this kind of word was written already in the Bible. Samuel said, here I am, Lord, speak, your servant hears. So as soon as I said that, show me, Lord, what do you want to show me? I saw a man on the terrace, and from terrace he walked down through the stairs, and he came and he stood just right in front of my face. And he asked me, will you not allow me to come into your bedroom? I was completely frozen. I couldn't speak even one single word. I moved back in my room. I came and I sat on my bed to the head side. He followed me. And he came and he sat on the feet side. And while he was sitting, he said, he's Jesus. I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him at all. I said, okay, if you are Jesus, I pointed towards the room. And I said, okay, if you are Jesus, then my brother and my sister-in-law, they are sleeping in their bedroom. Go and bring them here. So this man who said he's Jesus, he stood from there, he went to that room, and he came back with my brother and my sister-in-law. And my brother and my sister-in-law, they came and they sat to the other side of the bed, and this man who said he's Jesus, he came and he sat on his same place where he was sitting before. And then all four of us, we prayed together. After prayer, my brother and my sister-in-law, they went back to their room. And I had so many questions which I wanted to ask him. And he answered all my questions. And then next day, early in the morning, my brother and my sister-in-law, they came in my room. And they asked me, did I watch a nightmare last night? I said, no. They said, we came in your room, you was praying and you was crying. And then I asked them, I asked my sister-in-law, did you pray with me? They said, no. I said, did you see somebody else in my room? They said, no. And then I testified to them and I told them that I saw Jesus and Jesus visited me. And this is my sister-in-law's word. She said that she and her husband, they could feel the presence of God in my room. And that was the day, 30th September 1994, when I gave my life to Jesus. And since... And since that time, Jesus is my Lord, He is my God, and He is my Savior. Because I have found Him so faithful. Because on that specific night, He said that He will not leave me and He will not forsake me. And after that, so many things happened in my life and in my family's life. So many things. Several times I was arrested by police. One time some fanatic Muslims, they arrested me and one of my friend, and they wanted to burn us alive on a crossroad. One time some fanatic Muslims, they attacked on us and they wanted to stone us. My house was attacked. My daughter was kidnapped. We planted 7 churches and 5 churches were attacked and scattered. But on that specific night, God said that He will not leave me and He will not forsake me. And in all that situations, I have found that Jesus is with me because He's a promise-keeping God. So my dear brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that our God is not an idol. He is so real. He is so real. And they, I have no doubt at all. Because he is faithful and I have found him faithful. So that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here today. And I want to let you know that we need this faithful God who keep all his promises, and all his promises are with Amen. Amen? Okay. So most of my ministry, since I have been saved, mostly my ministry is among Muslims, and I studied Islam for 18 years as a compulsory subject, and then I did my master's degree in Islamic studies, so I know their ABC. Okay, so because I was brought up in a Muslim country and I lived in a Muslim culture, so I know all these things. And now God has given me a vision to plant churches in 1040 window. If you are aware of this term, 1040 window, they are mostly Muslim-dominated countries and mostly are unreached. And God has given us this vision to plant churches. And we are working among Muslims, not only in 1040 window countries, but here in UK as well. And we are training and equipping Christian believers that how they can reach out to these Muslim people, not only Muslim, but every aspect, every ethnic group of people, but mainly focus is Muslims. So during this lockdown time, mostly ministries were shut down, and God gave us so many opportunities to train and equip Christian believers for the outreach to the Muslims. And during lockdown time, I don't had even one single day free. Every single day we had 2-3 meetings. And we were so busy, and God really expanded our territory. He enlarged our territory. And I give all the glory to Jesus, what he is doing through us. And that is his faithfulness. So today, okay, before I go to that, I have written almost 14 books. And I have two books here with me. One is about how to reach out to the Muslims. And the another one is discerning spirits. Because it is very important to know which kind of spirits are working in our churches. It is very important because there are so many fake pastors and leaders and miracle workers, and there are many fake prophets even who are actually destroying the church. So we need to know them, and we need at this time actually more discernment than ever before. So that's why I came with these two books. So if you are interested, these two books are outside on the table, and I think it's £10 each. Huh? Okay, feel free to grab a copy if you want. Okay, so today, this morning, I want to share why we need to evangelize others. Why we need to evangelize others. Let's read with me from the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. So this is called the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now in these days, it is a omitted commission. Churches has forgotten this great commandment, and that is the reason why churches are declining, why churches are not growing. So this is our responsibility to do what God has called us to do. Okay? So I want to have a case study with you about Turkey, the Turkish church, why Christianity collapsed in Turkey. And most of the people, and I'm sure that you all know that at time, Turkish church was the biggest church in Europe. But now, Christianity is almost zero. And we will see some of the reasons why the Christianity has been collapsed in Turkey. Okay? So, old Turkey, Christianity lived in Turkey for about 1023 years. The seven churches Jesus spoke to the in the book of Revelation existed in the old Turkey. Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and Apostle John, they served the Turkish church. Okay? They had the great leaders of the church. But still, this church died. The present day Turkey has 96% Muslims and only 0.02% Christians, less than almost 130,000 believers. Today, preaching the gospel is totally banned. And you cannot baptize any Muslim people. And even it is not only in Turkey, but in so many Muslim countries as well. So there were four reasons why the Turkish church was collapsed. First, doctrinal differences weakened the Turkish church. And second reason is conflicts among denominations. And when I was here yesterday, I was talking to Saj that mostly churches, they are very interlinked with each other and they are very close to each other, because I travel all over the UK and all over the world, and I have seen that in these days people and churches are coming together. But when I came here yesterday, I didn't see so many churches here. The people who were here mostly were from outside of the Crowley, not locally. So that's why we have to reach out to our local community. Not only that it is a great commission, but because we are saved, that's why we need to take a stand for other believers as well, for other people as well. So I'm not accusing you, I'm not condemning you, but I'm just sharing the reality. So the third reason why the Turkish church was collapsed, that was the racism and favoritism which crippled the Turkish church. And same thing is here in UK as well. I have seen that many churches, they are against to each other. Our fight is against the devil. But I have realized and I have noticed since I have been in this country, I have seen that churches are fighting with each other. We called ourselves that we are a body of Christ. But if we will remain fighting with each other, how we will be able to win other people for the Christ? Then enemy will succeed in his plans, in his purposes. So we need to know that how we can stand for the church, not for the doctrine, not for the theology. Because theology or doctrine cannot save us. Only Jesus can save us. And Jesus should be our role model. Not doctrine, not churches, not culture, or not color of the skin. We need to come together on a one point, and that is we need to reach out to the lost. That is the purpose of our life. The fourth reason why the Turkish church was collapsed was the Turks were building big cathedrals instead of building men. They were not interested in discipleship. They were not interested in evangelism. They were interested in building big buildings. And same thing is happened here in UK as well. Not only they reach out to the whole world, but they spend a lot of money on church buildings. And now still same thing is happening here. We have big, big church buildings here in this country, but mostly are empty. Mostly churches have been sold out and they have converted into mosques or pubs. Is it reality or not? Or am I lying to you? No, this is the reality. We need to open our eyes and we need to see where we are standing. Because if we will not take our responsibility, then somebody else will take it. If we will not reach out to our neighbors, somebody else will reach out to them. And same principle applies to our families as well. If we will not teach our children, somebody else will teach our children wrong stuff. and then we will be not able to blame on them. So that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to reach out to our local communities, wherever God has put us. Not only that God has given us this great commission that we need to go to the nations only. God is bringing nations to in our neighborhood. The people are from all over the world. People are here in your neighborhood. You don't need to go to them. God is bringing them to you, to your doorstep. And for reaching out to them, you don't need to learn their language. You don't need to learn their culture. You don't need to spend a lot of money. Just you need to be available. And God will use you with signs and wonders. Because I have seen. I know one brother. He never ever prayed for anybody. Never ever. And one day, a thought came in his mind that he should go and he should pray for his neighbor. And when he knocked their door, their daughter was sick. And he said, I don't know why I am here, because I have never ever prayed for anyone. But I felt in my spirit that I should come and I should pray for your family. And they told him that our daughter is sick, so you can pray for our daughter. He prayed and that daughter was healed instantly. Completely and totally. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to use that power, because mostly we are ignorant about it. The power which God has given to us. So this great commission is omitted Christian. It's dying commission. So we need to rise up for it. And remember, the great commission is God's heartbeat. God longs for it. And God's desire it that we go and reach out to our neighborhood. Because evangelism and ministry start from home. And Jesus said before he ascended to heaven, he said that Holy Spirit will come upon you. You can read it in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will receive power and then you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So we need to start our ministry from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is our city, our home. And then we need to go to Judea, its province, Samaria, its country, and then the uttermost parts of the world. So start from your home, because if we will not take our responsibility, somebody else will take it. So Great Commission is a commandment. It is not an option. It's not an option. And in these days, I have realized that the Church of Christ is sleeping. They are relaxed. And they are enjoying in their comfort zone. We need to come out from this comfort zone. We need to take the responsibility of our neighbors. And we need somebody whom we can take to heaven with ourselves. And then we can introduce him to Jesus. Or he can introduce us with Jesus. Oh, Jesus, here is the man who shared your gospel with me. Who shared the gospel with me. And that's why I'm here with you today. We need somebody whom we can take to heaven. You are here because somebody shared the gospel with you. Just imagine, if nobody shared the gospel with you, can you imagine that you will be here today? Huh? No. No. So if somebody has taken this responsibility and he has shared the gospel with us, now it is our responsibility to reach out to the lost and take the gospel of Christ to those people who haven't heard yet. When somebody shared the gospel with you, do you think that past person, he was the bishop or he was the pope or he was the very senior pastor? No. Most of us who has received the gospel. They were lay people who shared with us. They were our friends. They were our family members. Or they were our colleagues. So, Great Commission is not only for the bishops, our pastors, our senior leaders. Great Commission is for each and every single person of us. We are responsible for it. And God has called us. If God has given us salvation, then it is our responsibility to take this the message of salvation to other people as well. The world is dying without Christ. The world is dying. And one day, we will be accountable for it. One day, God will ask us that I brought these people in your neighborhood. Did you share the gospel with them or not? Try to build good relationships with your neighborhood. We have some neighbors, Hindu and Muslim neighbors as well. So, for reaching out to your neighborhood, you don't need to do anything extraordinary. Just buy a small cake and give it to them. That's it. The rest of the job is up to them. So next time they will bring something to your home. They will bring something to you. And when you go out and if you see your neighbor, just say, hello, hi, how are you? That's enough. First try to win their heart and then you will be able to win their minds as well. But the problem is, we want to win first their mind and then we want to win their heart. So we need to change our strategy. And you know, reaching out to our neighborhoods is not too difficult. It's not too difficult. And especially in this country. You have a free speech rights. You are free to talk to anyone. But there are so many parts of this world where you cannot share your faith with anyone. 81% born again believers are not interested in evangelism at all. 81% is a very big number. They think that they are not called for evangelism. So do you think we need a calling for evangelism? No. I don't think so. We need calling for this purpose. We are already called and we are already commissioned for this thing. Jesus said, when you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, then you will be my witness. And is there anyone who don't know about Holy Spirit? We all know. We know the power of the Holy Spirit. And many of us, we have received that power, but we have put it in a box. And we take this power out only on Sunday. And only for 2 hours. And after 2 hours, we put it back and we seal that box and we put it in our storage. This is the life of a believer in this country. And there are so many people around the world who are dying because of their faith. But still they are bold enough to share the gospel with other people. So my dear brothers and sisters, we need to rise up. We need to take a stand for it. And you don't need pastor's approval. You don't need somebody come and dedicate you for this first. You don't need someone come and he equip you first for 3 years and then you can go and start evangelism in your street. No. You just need a free will that you want to reach out to your local community. That's it. And then Holy Spirit will help you. He will lead you. He will guide you. There are so many things which we can do in our churches. Like this pastoral care, which Pastor David was talking about before. We need volunteers in our churches who can visit families, who can visit hospitals, who can visit our neighborhood and ask them, is there any problem? Is there something they can help? We need people who can lead cell groups in the churches. We need people who can do hospitality in the church. We need people who can usher in the church. We need people in the churches who can arrange the chairs. We need people who can set up the sound system, set up the church. Don't wait that somebody will come and ask you, can you do this thing or that thing? Whatever you see in the church, start doing it. And when you will be faithful in your small, small things, then God will give you the responsibility of the bigger things as well. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, every single believer is called for evangelism. And you all are called to serve in your church. If you are not serving in the capacity God has given to you, you will be judged. And don't serve God out of fear. I'm not putting fear in your hearts. I'm just stirring up your faith. I'm encouraging you that you can do. Nothing is here in this church which you cannot do. You can serve God. And serving God is not only preaching from the pulpit. Your life is a testimony. And mostly people say that the fifth gospel is us. We are the fifth gospel. And people want to read it. So, you have the power to snatch people from the fire. You have the ability. Because God has given you that one. And you can read it in Jude chapter. It has only one chapter. And verse is 23. And also, Luke 15 verse 7 says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people, persons who do not need to repent. So another thing, that you can snatch the people from fire and then you can give a joy to the heart of God. And the joy which you can give to God is the people who will come into his kingdom. And Bible says that every single day when anybody come to Jesus, then there is a big celebration in heaven. And you can become a cause of this celebration in heaven. And for that thing, you don't need any degree or any qualification. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. 95% Christians, born-again believers, I'm talking about the born-again believers, have never won a soul for Christ. 95% is a big number. And you can see in your heart as well that how many people you have brought to Christ. How many people are following you, whom you can introduce with Christ. 95% is a very big number. I will go quickly because time is running very fast. So you have the power to change the world. And you can do it through evangelism. We all are agree that church is our spiritual family. Are you agree with me or not?
Yes.
We are a spiritual family. Okay? And can you please help me a little bit? How family grows? Huh? Being together. Yeah.
New birth.
Huh? New birth. Family will never ever grow if there is no new birth in the family. When we say that we as a church are a spiritual family, then we need spiritual birth as well in the church. I'm not talking that stealing people from other churches. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the unreached people, unsaved people. We need to bring them into the family of God. And then church will grow. And you know why the British church is declining now? Because we are lacking evangelism. We are not reaching out to the people. We are not talking to the people. And we are enjoying in our comfort zone. We are so relaxed, and sometimes I say that British church, most of us, we are sleeping. and we need somebody who can shake us and who can wake us up. This is the time to wake up. This is not the time of sleeping. Let me give you a very quickly the story of General MacArthur. You all know this story. When Americans took over Japan, he was the general, and at that time he wrote a letter to the American missionary sending agency, and he said that now this country in Japan, there is a freedom of religion. So send all the missionaries. He asked them for 10,000 missionaries. He said, send 10,000 missionaries to this country, and this country will be a Christian country. But you know, this missionary agency, they ignored that request. And then later on, that door which was open was closed forever. And now Christianity is only 2-point-some percent. So do you think that we need to veil that opportunity when God opened the door, or we just need to sit down and relax? We need to take that opportunity. We should not miss. And you know that in these days, God has opened the door for the Christians of Saudi Arabia. You know that how Saudi Arabia has been changed now. You have a freedom to plant churches now. They are opening up their doors. They are building the biggest Hindu temple of Middle East in Saudi Arabia. They have allowed to plant churches. You can build church buildings in Saudi Arabia now. Few years ago, it was impossible. God is opening doors for us. So now we need to rise up and we need to take stand. If we are not faithful in evangelism in our own local community, how can we imagine that we will go to the overseas as well? And you know, Afghanistan as well. Few months ago, there was a very big earthquake. And after that earthquake, they have opened their door to the Christian NGOs and all kind of charities. They are asking us, they can come, they can bring their charities, and they can, if they want to evangelize, they can evangelize. They can share their faith. God is changing this world. God is giving us this opportunity. So that's why we need to rise up. And same is Kuwait. So don't miss this opportunity. You can evangelize by praying. You can pray for your communities. You can pray for your church. You can pray for your leader. You can pray for those who are serving in your church. And you can give your time and your talent and your abilities which God has given to you. If you can make a tea, still you can serve in the church. Make tea for other people. Serve them. Because there is nothing in the church which you cannot do. There are so many things which you can do, and you can multiply this church 100 times. Take a target that during these holiday times, you will bring at least 2 new people in this church. I'm not talking about 100 people. Just 2 people. That can be your children, or that can be your spouse, or your friend, or your colleague, or anyone. Just 2 people. Is it difficult to bring 2 people in the church? No. But the problem is we are not taking stand for it. We are not bold enough to share with someone and ask someone, oh, do you want to go to church? Oh, this Sunday I'm going to church. Do you want to go with me? If you will ask them, they will come. But if you will not ask them, they will never ever come with you. So we need to be bold enough for this purpose. So you can become an ambassador of your church here in this area. You can let other people know about your church, what is going on. You can share about your children ministry. You can share about pastoral care group. You can share about your hospitality. You can share about your life groups. You can share about your prayer meetings. If somebody is sick, introduce them to your church. Oh, there is some people in our church who can pray for the sick. And God will do, because we need to do our part and let God do his part. But the problem is, we don't want to do our part, but we expect that God do his part. That's why we are not growing. Serving the local church is not too difficult. It's not too difficult. We just need to decide that I want to do something for my church, because my church is my family. You all love your family, huh? And you always work, every single day you work at least 8 hours for your family. Huh? Am I right or wrong? Every single person works at least 8 hours, no? Here in this country. And you work 5 to 6 days in a week. 8 hours each day. But just think, how many hours do you work for your spiritual family? How many hours do you work? Is there anyone who work apart from the pastor? Anybody who work at least 4 hours for the church? Very few. Most of the time is zero. If we will not work for our spiritual family, how we can expect that our spiritual family will grow? It is impossible, my dear brothers and sisters. So this is our responsibility. And God will judge us on this base as well. He will ask us. So, let's pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit that help me to serve you. Help me to stand for my church, which is my spiritual family. Help me to rise up. Give me strength and power to do what you have called me to do. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this opportunity which you have given to me, and I have shared your word with your people. So, Father, I seal each and every single word with the blood of Jesus Christ. And, Father, I pray that you touch the hearts of your people, Lord, and stir them up, Lord. Lord, encourage them, Lord, and let them say, here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, speak to them, Lord, and show them, Lord, what they can do for your family, Lord. So, Father, I pray for each and every one of us. Lord, you bless us. Give us your wisdom, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. And use us in a mighty way for the extension of your kingdom. Usually, I ask people that if they want to commit themselves for the Lord and for their local church or for their local community, they can rise up or they can raise their hands, and usually I pray for them. So is there anyone who wants to take stand for his church? You can slip up your hand, or you can say in your heart, here I am, Lord, send me. And he will speak to you. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you can rise up as well. There is freedom. There is freedom. But you know what we do, many Christians? We hear so many nice sermons. We listen. We talk. But when there is opportunity arise to do something practically, we step back. So if the Holy Spirit is asking you to do something, do it quietly. You don't need to advertise it, but you can say, here I am, Lord, send me. Okay, let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for each and every one of us. And Lord, you know their hearts. You know their commitment, Lord. You know what is going on in their hearts, Lord. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us who has raised their hands, who has promised you that they will serve in your king, in your family, Lord, and they will rise up for your people, Lord. So Father, I pray you give them your divine wisdom, Lord. And Lord, lead them, guide them, and use them for the extension of your kingdom, Lord. Lord, I commit them into your hands. And Lord, I put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us and around each and every single family who is representing here. Lord, you protect us and bless us and give us our heart's desires. And bless this church, Lord. And bring your people to this church from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, Lord. And bless this family, Lord. Bless this church, Lord. Bless the leadership of this church, Lord. And bless Pastor David and his wife, Lord. And use them in a mighty way for the extension of your kingdom, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I give you all the glory and honor. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.